All right, it's the download here on 720 WGN. Exciting. That was great. What a great performance from Sir the Baptist here live in studio. We make our transition now to Philadelphia. Elizabeth Warren, Senator from Massachusetts, on stage right now. Senator Bernie Sanders speaking next. In Philadelphia with ABC News tonight, he's new to the radio, so give him some love. Rokan, of course, in the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantes. You're in the arena. Rokan, what's been happening tonight?
Well, we've had a lot of speakers. We've seen some things. We've seen some good. We've seen some bad. There's been some ugly. It's really awkward, actually. There's no other way to put it. The weirdest moment was Sarah Silverman.
Mm-hmm.
She came up with Al Franken, right? And you figure these are two comedians by trade, right? So they're going to – and one of them turned into a senator. And I don't know what happened to Al Franken. So what they did is they get up there, did this like thing, it's like a little shtickle, and then she delivered her speech, and she extolled all of the Bernie Sanders people to come out and vote, and then they booed her, and then she got all kind of a little sideways with them, and then he came back out, and she's like, well, they're telling me to stretch, so we're just going to stretch because we're waiting for Paul Simon to come on stage, and Paul Simon, you know, was like late. I don't know what he was doing.
Gosh.
I mean, what could he be possibly doing? And so then she stopped and she says, do you know, all of you Bernie Sanders people who are like never Hillary, you people are ridiculous.
Oh, no.
And then, oh, God,
she like treated it like a comedy like crowd.
Yeah.
And she like turned on her hecklers.
Yeah, she did. And that was ugly. And she's a Bernie person, right? She's like
she was,
Bernie
person. She was a big time.
Well, she says she still is. She's, you know, she's got to do the right thing by America, man. Then Paul Simon came out and he was completely off key. It was awful. It was, and I love him. I mean, it was just a moment.
I didn't see it.
Oh,
darn
God.
It.
Oh, Dad, it's like one of the worst vocal performances in history.
Maybe he was backstage, you know, taking care of some business, and they're like, Paul, you got to get up here. And he's like, I haven't warmed up. Oh, who cares?
I'll tell you what happened. You know, Bill Clinton's in the room here now. And it was, and he's like probably, he's like, you know what, Paul, let's talk about a few things. And they're back there discussing chicks or something, and he won't let him go.
Right.
And he's waiting for him and waiting, and Sarah Silverman's eating it on stage.
I gotta go,
waiting
Bill.
For him.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you know what, now another thing, you know that time that you and I were in Hong Kong together, do you remember that? And it's like, what, are you come on, let him go.
Elizabeth Warren on stage now. Mm-hmm. Does she introduce Bernie, or is she just going to do her speech and then somebody else comes out?
Joseph P. Kennedy III introduced her. Mm. It's all, you always have to have another generation of a Kennedy. It's a it's a Democratic
it's
convention.
A tradition, right?
Right. Since 1960, always a Kennedy. So this is what happened for her. She's going to make she's making a pretty traditional speech. The most interesting thing here tonight, Justin, is the fact that people have been sitting. No one stood up. Cory Booker tried to get him to stand up. They didn't really stand up.
Really?
The most passionate speech so far has been Michelle Obama. She knocked it out of the park. And it was very political, too. She talked about how you can't, you know, this is not about black and white. Anybody who has the nuclear codes can't really reduce his emotions to 140 characters.
No,
you know,
good.
It's that
yeah.
kind of a
yeah.
thing. And so I smushed a few things there together, but that's essentially what
now,
she's saying.
Now, with Bernie Sanders really the only speaker left after Elizabeth Warren, have they successfully wiped the taste from the mouth at the beginning, the stumble at the beginning of this convention
no.
with the booze, or is it still there,
no.
it's still lingering?
No, I'm telling you, right now, I'm looking down on the floor, and everyone is sitting. People are, Elizabeth Warren is not bringing people to their feet. This, by the way, is a very rough first night. It depends on what Bernie does here. And I'm going to tell you something. When Bernie takes to the stage, and I'm not trying to program your show, Justin, but I'm telling you, you should probably take it live. It's coming down the rough from our friends at ABC News. Because what happens around here, the theatrics around here, and I'll check back with you after it's all over, but the theatrics here are going to be something, because there's going to be booing, there's going to be applauding. The Hillary people won't boo Bernie.
I can't
but
wait.
The Bernie people
right.
are, and they are, you know what, I think there's a technical term for this, pissed. That's the term. And they feel like they have been ripped off, and they are very, very, very upset about
it. Well, we'll see
and
how
letting everybody know.
We'll see how this plays out. Rokan is live covering for the National for the ABC News. And he checks in with us, the little guys. We appreciate that, bro.
Yeah, you know, the little. I'm always about the little people.
You've always been about the little people. Rokan, obviously broadcasting live from Philadelphia all week. We'll check in with you after Bernie speaks, okay?
All right.
All right. Thanks, man. Thanks, Rob. Yeah, exciting. The Democratic National Convention underway, obviously, day one. A little stumble out of the gate, and they now have their speakers, as Ro said, sort of coming out and trying to rile up this crowd. Speakers like Cory Booker, also First Lady Michelle Obama, Joseph Kennedy III, and then now Senator Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts. It's an interesting lineup. You know, Rob Martyr's here. It's interesting to me because there's a lot of heavyweights, and Dave Lundy said it. It was almost like they gave the more progressive wing of the party to day one.
I think it's a smart move. I mean, if you're trying to build this lineup pre-convention, you're taking a look at the rift that's existed between Sanders and Clinton, and you've got to try to find some way to bridge that gap because, as we've seen on night one of this convention in Philadelphia, there's still a wide swath to cover here between Sanders supporters and Clinton supporters.
Yeah.
So I think throwing out the ultra left of the party right now is probably not a bad idea. Is it having any effect? Michelle Obama seemed to have a very nice speech. I listened to most of it. She did well. It was very well received. Elizabeth Warren, I'm not so sure. Al Franken and Sarah Silverman, that was kind of wonky, but here we are.
Well, this is, I mean, I am loving, as a political junkie and someone who enjoys the spirit of a finely worded attack tweet. Donald Trump and Elizabeth Warren, it doesn't get any better.
Oh, yeah.
The two of them have been at each other. I mean, even on the day, I think it was Friday at night and Saturday, Donald Trump tweeted out Pocahontas, that's his nickname for her, which nobody finds offensive, but I guess it's okay. I'm like, that's so weird that you call a sitting senator by a nickname. But anyway, he says, Pocahontas, so sorry you didn't get picked. Hillary doesn't like you. Was a tweet. Like, what is this? It's like 9-year-old stuff. And she writes back and she's like, hey, Donald, don't worry about it. I'm right where I want to be, telling everybody about what a liar you are, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's almost like they're, you know, he's the candidate. She's just a surrogate attacking him. I don't know, man. It's really fun Twitter to watch, but it's also kind of surreal to think that this is happening at the highest levels of political.
But this is great country. Though. I mean, it's great for us. Obviously, we love it. We love the sound bites. We love the stories. But it's a purge. It's a cleansing. You know, you need to go through this every so often because, you know, tension builds and you've got to let the air out a little bit. So yeah. I think on both sides, Republican and Democratic, this is a lot of fun to watch. And I personally don't mind it. I think it's great.
Warren just said, and ABC News just tweeted it out, other than talking about building a stupid wall, did you hear anything about his ideas? Like, that's what I'm saying. Trump's entire campaign is just another late night Trump infomercial. That's what she's saying. She's kind of funny. I like Elizabeth Warren because she does have that kind of, she is colorful in her attack of Donald Trump. So.
Yeah, she's fire and brimstone. I mean, I read a couple of things leading up to tonight that there were some calls from those along Wall Street saying that if to Hillary Clinton before she made the announcement of Tim Kaine, that if she picked Elizabeth Warren as the running mate, there would be no money coming from Wall Street. Which I found interesting.
I know, that is interesting. And that's you know, I think at the end of the day, what my misgivings about the candidates that are running for president, Hillary Clinton being one of them, is how they are so manipulated by campaign money, the status quo. Even Donald Trump, I mean, he'll run on the thing, but it is important to him to, you know, to have these sort of really traditional or powerful relationships, as we see with Putin, but the concept being that they all sort of feed from the hand of power, and Hillary Clinton's the same way in the sense that she would be riled up or she would make a decision to not have Elizabeth Warren on her ticket because someone is threatening her you know, and to not give the campaign money. And it's just like, yeah, I guess that's true. But at a certain point, you would just hope that that doesn't play into the decisions being made for candidates who are going to run our country. You know, I as a voter and as a constituent, as a citizen of this great nation, I don't want it to be transparent that my needs are second to people with huge amounts of money. I mean, that's the problem with that. It's like it's a little too transparent for me. At least lie there. I'm okay with you lying in that regard. That no, I don't care about the big money. I care about the little guy. Just lie there. That's where I want the lies. So.
Yeah, it's a conundrum. I mean, they all do it. You know, one's not better than the other.
That's what I like Bernie Sanders, though. I did enjoy the fact that at least he turned, in this campaign, he turned campaign financing on its head. Everyone gave $10, $15. He didn't take money from the big dogs. You know, he had, when he did his tax returns, it was all pieces of yellow legal paper on his
Post-it
table.
Notes. Yeah.
But, I mean, there was something refreshing where you could take a breath. Or you know, and not inhale the stench that is American politics, because Bernie Sanders was doing that. Well, and I would even say that on the other side too, Donald Trump, in his own weird way, did the same thing, where he just, I don't know if it was offered to him the money, but he decided he was going to finance it himself.
Well, you know, to your point, and I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but there are more millionaires in Congress and the Senate now than there have ever been in the history of American politics.
And it blows my mind. That blows my mind.
Yeah.
And they're not self-made millionaires. That's what kills me, is it's not like they worked really hard and they became millionaires and they decided to be congressmen.
Rahm Emanuel didn't go out
right.
and build a company.
Right.
You know, he went to Congress, came back, did some private investing and some equity stuff and whatever else he was doing in finance. But it wasn't like he started a company and you know, put out the shingle and took that risk.
How about Rahm Emanuel?
I mean,
wow.
I mean,
Demi Lovato was on stage tonight. Sarah Silverman and Al Franken were asked to stretch.
Yeah.
There's no room for Rahm Emanuel to speak, not even on Wednesday at 2:30 about what's for lunch. He couldn't be the guy to say, "Hey, everybody, I just want to let you know they got the new nacho stand over here." And check out, like, there's just no room for him. He's just persona non grata.
Food trucks in Chicago.
Right. And what does that mean for Chicago?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the one thing, is that the mayor is a representative of the town. So does that mean that Hillary Clinton, let's say that she goes on to become the president of the United States, does that continue?
But honestly,
Rahm Emanuel doesn't have any clout. He doesn't have any political clout, so we get nothing out of Washington.
But here you are, right? You're putting together the Democratic National Convention, okay?
Right.
Do you honestly want anyone from the state, from the city, and from the county of Cook up on that stage? I mean, our politicians collectively have driven this state, city, and county into the ground.
Yeah.
The last thing you need is any sort of that kind of tie-in with Hillary Clinton and the Democratic machine here in this state.
I know that Daley was the chairman of the Democratic Party, so he'd gavel in for the Illinois breakfast and things like that. Did Daley do a lot of speaking at conventions? I can't remember if he was a big speaker, like if he'd be at 7 o'clock.
Ooh, Squeaky?
Yeah, Squeaky.
Yeah,
right?
I don't recall that he did.
I mean,
not
he probably
primetime.
Did at certain points. Yeah, exactly. Not prime time. Maybe he's up there for a second reading the teleprompter, but reading it, missing the punctuation, my favorite thing that mayor would do. In this times, we need to work on how we are going to work together, and then we need to, and you're like, there was a period there somewhere. You ran that whole sentence. You just missed it. That's so funny. And then you'd stop in the middle of the next sentence because you realized it, and you're like, wow, you're not even speaking English. Like, I don't even know what you're doing. That's awesome. How'd you get this far in life? You're the mayor of Chicago. That's awesome.
Leverage, baby.
Awesome.
It's all about leverage.
That's awesome. Back in the day when it didn't matter if you could speak the language. Now all these eloquent speakers have to get up there, you know. And it's not even enough for one language. Tim Kaine's got to jump into Spanish, too, eloquently. He's got to do it in an eloquent way. So we're all like, oh, that's impressive. It's not only impressive that you know Spanish, but it's more impressive of how just just romantic. The way he says it.
Well, Elizabeth Warren has just wrapped up her speech.
Right.
So I think we've got kind of a bridge, and then Bernie Sanders, who I think they're probably going to have to wake up.
Yeah.
He just got back from the Golden Corral senior discount at the the buffet.
He's backstage getting messed with. All right, we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, Bernie Sanders will be live from the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. Stay with us. Here's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. We're covering the Democratic National Convention tonight. Coming up here, we'll hear from Vermont Senator and presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, who will take the stage. We'll see if this is similar to what happened with Ted Cruz, if Senator Sanders goes as far as to endorse Hillary Clinton, which he has done in certain ways, but he also has pulled back, as we talked about in Touche. We'll see what the tenor and the tone of his speech is as he delivers his speech on day one of the Democratic National Convention, which has been met with a lot of different boos and emotions from what has been described to be a very tense sort of floor at the Democratic National Convention. So they are doing a DNC video right now that's introducing Bernie Sanders. He's going to take the stage momentarily. Again, Bernie Sanders speaking at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. We're going to take it to that speech, and then afterwards, we're going to hear from our WGN radio team, including Ro Khan, who is broadcasting reporting from ABC News tonight. Also, Tracy Seffel and Dave Lundy are going to join us, both Democratic analysts, and we are going to hear from some others tonight, including some Bernie delegates from the state of Illinois. So that's all coming up in the 10 o'clock hour here after Bernie speaks to the convention. It's a big speech because he can rile up his core. He can tamp down his core. He can do a lot to the momentum and the fervor and the tone of tonight's convention. All right. The Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia just about ready to introduce Bernie Sanders. Rob, I see him coming to the stage. Lots of signs that say, Bernie, a future to believe in. Bernie.
There he is, making his way to the podium right now. Let's just go ahead and listen in at the convention floor.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. It is an honor. Thank you. Thank you very much. It is an honor to be here tonight. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. It is an honor to be here tonight and to be following in the footsteps of my good friend Elizabeth Warren, and to be here tonight to thank Michelle Obama for her incredible service to our country. She has made all of us proud. Let me begin by thanking the hundreds of thousands of Americans who actively participated in our campaign as volunteers. Thank you. Let me thank the 2.5 million Americans who helped fund our campaign with an unprecedented 8 million individual campaign contributions. Anyone know what that average contribution was? Right. $27. And let me thank the 13 million Americans who voted for the political revolution. Giving us the 1,846 pledged delegates here tonight. And delegates, thank you for being here, and thank you for all the work you have done. I look forward. I look forward to your votes during the roll call tomorrow night. And let me offer a special thanks to the people of my own state of Vermont who have sustained me and supported me as a mayor, congressman, senator, and presidential candidate. And to my family, my wife Jane, our 4 kids, and 7 grandchildren, thank you very much. I understand that many people here in this convention hall and around the country are disappointed about the final results of the nominating process. I think it's fair to say that no one is more disappointed than I am. But to all of our supporters here and around the country, I hope you take enormous pride in the historical accomplishments we have achieved. Together, my friends, we have begun a political revolution to transform America, and that revolution, our revolution, continues. Election days come and go, but the struggle of the people to create a government which represents all of us and not just the 1%. A government based on the principles of economic, social, racial, and environmental justice. That struggle continues. And I look forward to being part of that struggle with you. Let me be as clear as I can be. This election is not about and has never been about Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders or any of the other candidates who sought the presidency. This election is not about political gossip. It's not about polls. It's not about campaign strategy. It's not about fundraising. It is not about all the things that the media spends so much time discussing. This election is about and must be about the needs of the American people and the kind of future we create for our children and our grandchildren. This election is about ending the 40-year decline of our middle class. The reality that 47 million men, women, and children today live in poverty. It is about understanding that if we do not transform our economy, our younger generation will likely have a lower standard of living than their parents. This election is about ending the grotesque level of income and wealth inequality in America today. It is not moral. It is not acceptable, and it is not sustainable that the top one-tenth of 1% now owns almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. Or that the top 1% in recent years has earned 85% of all new income. That is unacceptable. That must change. This election is about remembering where we were 7.5 years ago when President Obama came into office after 8 years of Republican trickle-down economics. The Republicans want us to forget that as a result of the greed, recklessness, and illegal behavior on Wall Street, our economy was in the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression. That's where we were. That is where we were. Some 800,000 people a month were losing their jobs, 800,000 people. We were running up a record-breaking deficit of $1.4 trillion. And by the way, the world's financial system was on the verge of collapse. That's where we were when President Obama came into office. Well, we have come a long way in the last 7.5 years, and I thank President Obama and Vice President Biden I thank them for their leadership in pulling us out of that terrible recession. Yes, we have made progress, but I think we can all agree that much, much more needs to be done. This election is about which candidate understands the real problems facing this country and has offered real solutions. Not just bombast, not just fear-mongering, not just name-calling and divisiveness. We need leadership in this country which will improve the lives of working families, the children, the elderly, the sick, and the poor. We need leadership which brings our people together and makes us stronger. Not leadership which insults Latinos and Mexicans, insults Muslims and women, African Americans and veterans, and seeks to divide us up. By these measures, any objective observer will conclude that based on her ideas and her leadership, Hillary Clinton must become the next president of the United States. The choice This election is about a single mother, a single mom I saw in Nevada, who with tears in her eyes told me she was scared to death about the future because she and her daughter were not making it on the $10.45 an hour she was earning. This election is about that woman and the millions of other workers in this country who are struggling to survive on totally inadequate wages. Hillary Clinton understands that if someone in this country works 40 hours a week, that person should not be living in poverty. She understands that we must raise the minimum wage to a living wage. And she is determined to create millions of new jobs by rebuilding our crumbling infrastructure, our roads, bridges, water systems, and wastewater plants. But her opponent, Donald Trump, well, he has a very different point of view. He does not support raising the federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour, a starvation wage. While Trump believes in huge tax breaks, huge tax breaks for billionaires, he believes that states should actually have the right to lower the minimum wage below 7.25. Brothers and sisters, this election is about overturning Citizens United. Citizens United is one of the worst Supreme Court decisions in the history of our country. That decision allows the wealthiest people in America, like the billionaire Koch brothers, to spend hundreds of millions of dollars buying elections and in the process undermine American democracy. Hillary Clinton will nominate justices to the Supreme Court who are prepared to overturn Citizens United. And end the movement toward oligarchy that we are seeing in this country. Her Supreme Court appointments will also defend a woman's right to choose. Workers' rights, the rights of the LGBT community, the needs of minorities and immigrants, and the government's ability to protect our environment. If you don't believe that this election is important, if you think you can sit it out, take a moment to think about the Supreme Court justices that Donald Trump would nominate. And what that would mean to civil liberties, equal rights, and the future of our country. This election is about the thousands of young people I have met all over this country the thousands that I have met who left college deeply in debt, and tragically, the many others who cannot afford to go to college. During the primary campaign, Secretary Clinton and I both focused on this issue, but with somewhat different approaches. Recently, however, we have come together on a proposal that will revolutionize higher education in America. It will guarantee that the children of any family in this country with an annual income of $125,000 a year or less, 83% of our population, will be able to go to a public college or university tuition free. That proposal also substantially reduces student debt. This election is about climate change, the great environmental crisis facing our planet, and the need to leave this world in a way that is healthy and habitable for our children and future generations. Hillary Clinton is listening to the scientists who tell us that unless we act boldly to transform our energy system in the very near future, there will be more drought, more floods, more acidification of the oceans, more rising sea levels. She understands that we can create hundreds of thousands of jobs transforming our energy system. Donald Trump, well, like most Republicans, he chooses to reject science. He believes that climate change is a hoax. No need to address it. Hillary Clinton understands that a president's job is to worry about future generations, not the profits of the fossil fuel industry. This campaign is about moving the United States toward universal health care. And reducing the number of people who are uninsured or underinsured. Hillary Clinton wants to see that all Americans have the right to choose a public option in their health care exchange. She believes that anyone 55 or older should be able to opt in to Medicare. And she wants to see millions more Americans gain access to primary health care, dental care, mental health counseling, low-cost prescription drugs through a major expansion of community health centers. And what is Donald Trump's position on health care? Well, no surprise there. Same old Republican contempt for working families. He wants to abolish the Affordable Care Act, throw 20 million people off of health insurance, and cut Medicaid for lower-income Americans. Hillary Clinton also understands that millions of seniors, disabled vets, and others are struggling with the outrageously high cost of prescription drugs. And the fact that Americans pay the highest prices in the world for the medicine we use. She knows that Medicare must negotiate drug prices with the pharmaceutical industry. And that drug companies should not be making billions in profit when one out of five Americans are unable to afford the medicine they need. The greed of the drug companies must end. This election is about the leadership we need to pass comprehensive immigration reform and repair a broken criminal justice system. It's about making sure that young people in this country are in good schools and at good jobs, not rotting in jail cells. Hillary Clinton understands that we have to invest in education and jobs for our young people, not more jails or incarceration. In these stressful times for our country, this election must be about bringing our people together, not dividing us up. While Donald Trump is busy insulting one group after another, Hillary Clinton understands that our diversity is one of our greatest strengths. Yes, we become stronger when black and white, Latino, Asian American, Native American, when all of us stand together. Yes, we become stronger when men and women, young and old, gay and straight, native born and immigrant, fight together to create the kind of country we all know we can become. It is no secret that Hillary Clinton and I disagree on a number of issues. That is what this campaign has been about. That is what democracy is about. But I'm happy to tell you that at the Democratic Platform Committee, there was a significant coming together between the two campaigns, and we produced by far the most progressive platform in the history of the Democratic Party. Among many, many other strong provisions, the Democratic Party now calls for breaking up the major financial institutions on Wall Street. And the passage of a 21st century Glass-Steagall Act. It also calls for strong opposition to job-killing trade agreements like the TPP.
You are listening to Senator Bernie Sanders address the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
Does not get to the floor of the Congress in the lame duck session. Our job now is to see that strong Democratic platform implemented by a Democratic-controlled Senate, by a Democratic House, and a Hillary Clinton presidency. And I am going to do all that I can to make that happen. I have known Hillary Clinton for 25 years. I remember her, as you do, as a great first lady who broke precedent in terms of the role that a first lady was supposed to play as she helped lead the fight for universal health care. I served with her in the United States Senate and know her as a fierce advocate for the rights of children, for women, and for the disabled. Hillary Clinton will make an outstanding president, and I am proud to stand with her tonight. Thank you all very much.
So there you have it. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, a revolutionary maybe, Justin? Just wrapping up his speech at the Democratic National
Convention. I was hoping you'd keep that music going, a little jazz. They got something going on there.
It's taking it to the streets.
Taking it to
Doobie
the
Brothers, yeah. Why not? You know? I mean, what they should have done was had Paul Simon, who sang earlier tonight at the RNC, singing Hello Darkness, My Old Friend.
Right, that's right.
That would have been appropriate.
Okay. Yeah. Rabbi Julie Schoenfeld. Okay, well, Bernie Sanders speaks at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. Now we turn to analysis and reaction to one of the speeches tonight that obviously is going to stand out. Senator Bernie Sanders, who led a fierce campaign in the primary, Democratic primary for president, you know, all the way down to the line, there was thoughts of a brokered convention. We knew this weekend of a conspiracy or the Democratic National Committee conspiring against Bernie Sanders. And yet he takes the stage at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia and delivers what is only to be known as a huge endorsement for Hillary Clinton. This was not Ted Cruz style. This was not the idea that this was for Bernie Sanders to rile up his troops and only his troops. He definitely came out and did his job to support the impending nominee Hillary Clinton. All right, we'll take a break. We will come back with more here covering the Democratic National Convention and Bernie Sanders' speech. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman covering the Democratic National Convention. Bernie Sanders, the senator from Vermont, just spoke. We're going to wrap up our analysis and reaction coming up here after Rob's news. Ro Khan's going to join us from the arena in Philadelphia. We're also going to talk with Tracy Seffel. Tracy, a longtime Clinton staffer and supporter, who's also she's a regular on the Download's Touche. She's here on Monday night. She comes on. She is in Philadelphia, so she'll give us an update from her vantage point about what was up, what was down, what was strange, what was good, all that kind of stuff from the night. Also tonight, Dave Lundy will join to give reaction and analysis. He watched all the speeches tonight while we were doing the show. Does that sound good? Okay, so that's coming up. We will continue our coverage of the Democratic National Convention tonight. Bernie Sanders brings the heat and says, he pretty much says that he's going to do all that he can to make Hillary Clinton the next president of the United States. He does that in front of an audience that it sometimes cheered and sometimes jeered when Hillary Clinton's name was said. Of course, tomorrow, the roll call and the nomination, we will see how that plays out. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, big speeches, but before we get to that, breaking news. The Chicago White Sox winning a walk-off bottom of the ninth double or single for Tyler Saladino, who drives in, I think it was Shuck on second base. New lefty Mike Montgomery gives up the game. Aroldis Chapman, he comes tomorrow for the team. So tonight the Chicago White Sox take game one of the Crosstown Cup. All right, let's go to Ro Khan. Ro Khan standing by in Philadelphia. Ro, tonight, big night. Bernie Sanders, did he do what needed to be done to unify this party?
I'd say it was a walk-off single for him. I wouldn't call it a home run. I would say that he did well, but, you know, there was a lot of his own agenda there. Basically what Bernie Sanders did tonight was he used his own stump speech and he just inserted Hillary Clinton believes in front of every sentence instead of what he was going to say. So it was a way that he was able to sort of insert her into what it was that his voters want to hear. Now, you know, we talked on the ABC News show, we talked to some people down in the Bernie supporters down in amongst the delegates, and they're like, hey, she doesn't own our vote. They're still standing firm.
You know, let me ask you, because there was tremendous, you know, comparisons between what Bernie Sanders did tonight and Ted Cruz did in Cleveland, in the sense that Bernie Sanders mentioned Hillary Clinton's name 15, 20 times to Ted Cruz saying Donald Trump once. For a runner-up to come out and show this kind of support, it does say something about what they're going to do as a Democratic Party moving forward.
Well, he did make it mostly about her. I mean, it was about his – even though it was in his his words, it was – and using his phraseology, he would say that she supported it, right? Mm-hmm. But he was just trying to put his stamp of approval on her campaign. And you know, to the most part, I think it worked. Where are the Bernie Sanders people going to go? I mean, other than to say, hey, we'll stay at home, and what we're going to do is wait for Donald Trump to become president, and if we don't die in a thermonuclear crisp within the first 3.5 years, maybe we'll elect somebody that we like. And I don't know that that's actually the kind of deal that the Bernie Sanders people are going to make. And I'll tell you what's going to happen here, too, is that Democrats, when you watch Bill Clinton get up there tomorrow night and do what he does best, even though he's, you know, a little more... and a little slower and seemingly more elderly in his delivery, he's still going to own the room.
Right.
And when he does that, there's going to be a sense of unity, because he just does that for Democrats. He's got that sort of special sauce. And that, pardon the expression. And so that's going to be the that's going to be something for him that it's going to be, I think, for the party is going to be particularly good.
Well, Bernie Sanders tonight mentioning to his crowd in the room, obviously talking about he's excited for the roll call tomorrow, but he also mentioned...
Well, that's important.
Yeah, it is important.
Can I stop you on that point for a second? Because that's really important what he did. What he's doing there is he's dog whistling. We use that term too much. But he's indicating to his supporters, hey, listen... I'm still officially a candidate here. My name is entered in the nomination. I want to have the full roll call. We want to take all the states, including all the W states at the end, after Vermont, that he did particularly well in and he won. And they want to do it so that he stays alive. Now, within seconds of the end of his speech, emails to his supporters went out that said he's starting a new organization that is going to be to keep his revolution moving forward. So he is, he wants to be a player here, at least, simultaneously benefiting from the anti-Trump swell that, mm-hmm. that he can do, but also he wants to be a player moving forward in 18 and in 20 and 22 and 24.
Right. Well, I mean, interesting night. I mean, it started off with a stumble. It, Michelle Obama had seemed to hit one out of the park. Everyone in between kind of did okay. But again, at the end, Bernie Sanders comes through with a big speech to try to unify the party. What do you guys have on the show tomorrow? I don't even know why I asked about tomorrow. What's on tap for tonight?
Well, we got to head out now. we have that's a really good question, because it's gonna be really fascinating to see.
Well, you guys are around when the roll call goes, right?
Yes, we will be.
That's
fun
part.
I mean,
right?
We've booked this week a little lighter than we booked the Republicans, because there's just so much theater going on, and there is a lot of daytime programming here in the convention itself. One of the interesting things about Trump is he wasn't able to fill the hours of the convention. Right, he started putting his own guys in. Right,
his own family.
That's how you get a guy referring to himself as an anchovy on a Caesar salad. That's because or his friends. Right, so what we have here is really much more standard, much more predictable, and the kinds of things that these conventions are all about. So there will be a lot of people and a lot of the theatrics and mechanics and all that, and we're just kind of playing it by the seat of our pants here, because I think that's anything can happen here. Tomorrow the roll call will be fascinating. And then once that's over and it's basically for her, then, of course, you're going to have, the vice presidential night on Wednesday. And then you have the big night for her on Thursday.
That's going to be huge. Well, Rokan and Anna DeVlantes live in Philadelphia. You can check the show all tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. You come back Friday or do you stay there?
We're scheduled to appear on Friday at WGN, so
oh, nice.
I don't know. It's on the schedule.
Oh,
I don't know that we're going to. That's really dependent upon a lot of other exogenous factors, but we plan to do it. Yeah.
Well, Ro, have a great night tonight. I can't wait to get the full update tomorrow after the show.
I'll show you the pictures on my phone that don't make it to Twitter.
Appreciate it, Ro. Thanks, and great job today.
Thanks.
Ro Khan checking in from the stadium in Philadelphia where the Democratic National Convention. Bernie Sanders just wrapped up. Let's go to Dave Lundy. Dave Lundy watching the speech from here in Chicago. He joins me now. He's the better half on Touche that we hear every Monday here. Dave, what'd you think of Bernie Sanders' speech tonight?
Well, he's no Ted Cruz, that's for sure. didn't exactly hear him say vote your conscience. I heard him say that Hillary was the choice, that Hillary, if you care about the issues, you'll vote for Hillary. I mean, honestly, it was as good as anybody could have asked for.
So talk about the issues that he talked, you know, I mean, last week we saw with Ted Cruz, he really went through the litany of issues that really he wanted to see on the conservative agenda for Donald Trump. Today or tonight, Bernie Sanders talked about similar issues that he wanted to see Hillary Clinton trumpet, like Supreme Court justice, Citizens United. He took on universal health care, the fossil fuel industry, and other things. But it sounded like he sort of put the list together of the things that he wanted to see. He and his followers wanted to see the campaign move with.
Yeah, I mean, the difference between tonight and Ted Cruz is that, you know, Donald Trump is not a conservative. He's not close to a conservative. In fact, I'm not sure he has any ideology other than Trump. But whereas, you know, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, while there are differences because Bernie's, you know, definitely more on the left end of the spectrum, the overwhelming majority of these issues are common Democratic issues: overturning Citizens United, right to choose, recognition that climate change is actually real and that you're going to do something about it. I mean, this is the center of the meat, you know, for Democrats. And so, you know, I think the point that Bernie was making to his supporters, many of whom are, you know, very vocal and continue to be vocal. I mean, I could not believe that they were booing Elizabeth Warren. Hmm. Elizabeth Warren. She was Bernie before Bernie was Bernie. and they were booing Elizabeth Warren. And it wasn't a lot of people, but it was enough that it was annoying. And they got shushed in the hall. But, you know, because what the point Bernie was making is that if you care about these things, you have a binary choice. You vote for Hillary Clinton or you vote for Donald Trump. And I think that that's the case that needed to be made. And most people, including most of Bernie's supporters, will come along with that, will recognize the logic of what he's saying.
What was the highlight for you tonight, watching the speeches on the first day of the DNC?
Oh, it's hard to argue that Michelle was not the highlight. I mean, her speech was fabulous. She was masterful. She's got a great touch. She's got a great tone. I mean, that was just a tremendous speech. I look forward to hearing it out of Melania in 4 years. It'll be harder with the accent, but I think Michelle really just delivered a phenomenal speech. Frankly, Elizabeth Warren was flat. I think that, you know, I've heard Elizabeth Warren give an "Oh my God, you forced to stand on your feet and applaud,"
right.
And tonight was okay. It was a good speech, but it was not anything that anybody's going to remember. And Bernie, you know, Bernie gave a speech that a lot of people were kind of fixated on Twitter, that for the first 10-15 minutes or so, it was all about Bernie and his campaign, but. You know, at a certain point in the speech, he pivoted, and then he just gave a tremendously effective endorsement of Hillary Clinton. I think tonight, as I said in the 7 o'clock hour, this entire night was about getting as many Bernie folks as possible on board and putting the ugliness of the beginning of the day behind us. And I think Bernie, you know, really did that effectively.
So moving forward, I mean, tomorrow is really all about the roll call and the nomination. Last week, we kind of saw the Republicans try to do effectively to shut down the process. That doesn't look to be what's going to happen tomorrow. Bernie Sanders going to get his day on the floor. Do you expect anything to go awry, or is this just the normal tradition of the Democratic politics at a convention?
It's the normal tradition. I mean, you know, what's funny is that with the way the elections have gone this year, it was like, in fact, I remember Roebling saying on the show, "Oh, well, you know, we're not organized. We're not like the Democrats." And I'm like, guys, for decades, you guys are the organized people. We're the ones that Will Rogers said, "I don't belong to an organized political party. I'm a Democrat." So the fact that there is a little dissent here and there, you know, that's normal.
Right.
But, you know, I contrast tonight to both the Ted Cruz thing, but also to 1980. You know, a lot of people have been talking about 1980 and Ted Kennedy, who did not give a full-throated endorsement to Jimmy Carter. He gave not even a half-hearted endorsement to Jimmy Carter. And people were saying, well, is Bernie going to do that? Is Bernie going to do that? Ted Kennedy at least was a Democrat. Bernie never has been. But, boy, Bernie came out and really made it clear where he stands and where his supporters need to stand. I expect the rest of the convention to go, you know, the way it should. I think it's going to go very smoothly, and I think that they're going to greet, you know, when Bill Clinton gets up and speaks, when Barack Obama gets up and speaks. I mean, the star power at our convention compared to, you know, the Scott Baio and the Duck Dynasty guy, I mean, even Sarah Silverman and Al Franken and Paul Simon, I mean, it was fabulous.
Yeah. Dave Lundy, the better half of Touche, which you can check out every Monday night here on The Download, joins us. You're going to be going to Philadelphia tomorrow. We'd love to check in with you from the convention later in the week, and we appreciate all your contributions. Dave Lundy, thanks for joining us, bud.
Justin, pleasure. Have a great night.
It's a Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up after the 11 o'clock news, Patty Vasquez takes over. Pretty late, Patty Vasquez. Looking forward to tomorrow's program as well as tomorrow's Democratic National Convention. Obviously, the roll call nomination. Tomorrow would be President Clinton as well. So there you go. So that's coming up. Joining us now from Philadelphia is Tracy Seffel. She is a contributor to Touche on Monday night. She's also a Democratic consultant who's worked for past campaigns for Hillary Clinton. She's in Philadelphia, and she is there for the speeches. Tracy, how did tonight go, and what was the highlight?
Hey, Justin. Well, I should say that the massive thunderstorm that rocked Philadelphia has now washed away. So that is one highlight, because it certainly seemed like Armageddon was upon us for a short while. But weather aside, I think it's safe to say that this was Michelle Obama's night. Such a wonderful, personal, colorful, heartfelt speech. I found it so moving on so many levels, and I think that will show everyone from here forward that the tone has been set for this convention. Last week, we had Cleveland, we had Trump, we had darkness and danger and evil, and Michelle Obama, I think, made such a contrast by opening our convention tonight.
What was the feeling for Michelle Obama? Obviously, the delegates in the room, especially the Bernie Sanders delegates, had the boo birds out for certain portions of tonight's, even today's festivities. What was the feel and the tone for the First Lady?
I don't think it's too strong of a word to say adoration. She's truly become a beloved figure and figurehead for the Democratic Party. I heard so many people saying how much they're going to miss her, that she's been such a presence for 8 years, and what will we ever do without her? The way she spoke of her family was very effective and very moving for so many people, especially for anyone who feels like they too have seen the Obama's daughters grow up. There's a very visceral connection that many people have there. So it was affection and pride and a little bit of sadness to know that these days are soon over.
Dave Lundy just mentioned that one of the lowlights in his mind was Elizabeth Warren's speech. Said it fell flat from speeches he's seen her perform before, where she's getting rousing, you know, standing ovations. This was not it. Do you feel the same way about Elizabeth Warren and her performance tonight?
Well, I would say slightly differently, that I think Elizabeth Warren demonstrated quite ably to her biggest audience that she really has no problem taking on Trump. And whether or not she brought the house down or was the most memorable speech of the night, I think Dave's right that she doesn't fall in that category. But if you think about her willingness and her dexterity in taking on Trump, that's an important feature from here forward between now and November for Elizabeth Warren to be dispatched, so to say, onto the trail to deliver those kinds of blistering criticisms of Trump. That's hugely important. And she, I believe, demonstrated tonight that she has no qualms getting up and doing that. Hmm.
Okay, so looking forward, moving and taking the momentum forward to tomorrow, what are you looking forward to for tomorrow's slate of events and speeches?
Well, I have to give Sarah Silverman credit for her line about, you're just being ridiculous to the Bernie diehards. And I do hope that maybe tonight was the night when people had to sort of get it out of their system, their disappointment over the perfectly, indisputable outcome of the primaries. Okay, so we had Monday, we had the angry Bernie people. They got chastised, and Bernie himself gave his ringing endorsements of Hillary. So my hope is that tomorrow we can put a lot of this behind us. I do think that there are a lot of people who came to Philadelphia just sort of itching for a fight over this, that they feel their work is not done. However, it is, we're going to move forward. This is Hillary's week. This is Hillary and Tim Kaine. This is, we've got work to do here. So it is my hope that we move on in an optimistic way. And frankly, in a stark contrast to last week, I hope that we're moving on in a substantive way. I mean, there was more policy discussed tonight than, I don't know, in 6 months of the Republican campaign. It was very notable to me that this is about progressive policies. This is about helping working families, the things that, motivate you to vote. So I'm happy to hear that, and I hope that there's more of it in store for us this week. Most of all, I just hope it's not quite so hot.
Good luck with that. Tracy Seppel is a Democratic consultant who has worked with past Clinton campaigns and is in Philadelphia for the convention. Tracy, thanks for checking in. We'll check back with you later this week.
You bet. Take care, Justin.